This podcast is not for big business or a get-rich-quick scheme. This is a business-building system for the small business owner who needs better information and structure to make their dreams a reality. Colin Sprague takes ordinary men and women and turns them into extraordinary business owners through extreme implementation, training, and accountability. His methods require commitment, drive, openness to learning, and determination. But if you want results, stick around. Here's your host, Colin Sprague.
Hi, it's Colin Sprague here, and I'm super excited because today we have a very special guest on MYM Your Business, The Brutal Truth, with myself, Colin Sprague. And our guest today is Neil Sperling. We're going to take you on a journey today of really understanding how to get, you know, just dig deep into being more successful, getting answers that you're looking for. And, you know, Neil's been one of those people that I got to meet only really recently. In fact, he was on my stage here, one of my big events here in Vancouver called Business Excellence. And the one thing that really impressed me about Neil is his heart and his soul and his dedication to other people's success. And the way he's done things, I mean, he spoke to me on the phone recently just about trust, and has a great, amazing information of knowledge and just awesome at what he does. And, you know, Neil, maybe you want to give us a little bit of intro to who you are so our listeners today can understand where you come from, what you do, in a just a short abbreviated version of who you are and your brilliance that you bring to this podcast today.
Well, thank you, Colin. That's very, very flattering, and I really appreciate it. And it's a great chance to be here and share information with everybody out there. You know, I guess I'm primarily known as a world-class connector and a world-class problem solver. And the world-class connector brand was actually given to me by Robert Allen. I had a chance meeting with him, and it led to a meeting in his living room. And after he looked at my card and met with me for 3 hours, he said, you know, you're not a business development and marketing consultant. And I said, I'm not. And he said, no, I think you're much more than that. You're a world-class connector. And I actually had to go home and look up what that meant, because what I've been doing is essentially something I've been doing all my life, which is seeing the connections, puzzle pieces, people, and how things fit together and in a most optimal sense. So eventually I've taken that and built that into a career, and I think I'm able to help people navigate and see things more clearly from that perspective of how their own puzzle pieces in their own lives can fit in the most optimal sense.
Wow, that's awesome. And, you know, Neil, one of the big things for me, which just fascinates me, is absolutely how you are that true connector and how you've even connected me with so many amazing people as well. So maybe you can give our listeners today some real insights into what does it truly mean to connect? So, you know, people talk about this being a connector. If we want people to get the concepts, the understanding of what it truly means to connect with somebody, maybe you can give us maybe, you know, one, two or three amazing tips on how to be a really good connector, but a genuine heart-centered connector, not connecting because you hear from Neil today on how to really connect, but you go out and you do it from a real heart-centered place. Can you give us maybe, you know, one to three tips on how to be fantastic at connecting?
Yeah, sure. I think it starts with being aware, and the more aware you are, the more successful you can be. And having that awareness really extends to several areas. First off, a lot of people, when they hear about connecting, it's kind of a fuzzy concept for them, and they immediately equate it with networking, or they'll equate it with communicating. But actually, it's different than that. Communicating is one facet of connecting. You can communicate, but not necessarily connect. You can network with people, but not necessarily communicate or connect. So I think connecting takes it to a deeper level. And the connection is really starts for me with being an active listener, being very aware of other people, taking the onus off my own agenda, and focusing more in on the other person's agenda, and trying to figure out not what they really want, but what they actually need. And that becomes a place of authenticity when you meet them on that ground. And by having a sense of what they could really use, it's almost like you're getting beyond the superficialities and in a very quick way to get to the core truths of who they are. And they sense very often, I find, when you do that, it's taking a little risk because you meet someone early on and they don't know where you're coming from or what your agenda is, but they instantly sense intuitively that you're authentic and you really want to help them. And it's almost like giving them tough love or tough truth. And so consequently, when you establish a rapport on that basis and early on, it builds a sense of trust, and I think an accelerated way that allows you to accelerate the connection and the relationship.
That sounds awesome. So for me, it's fascinating. I'm going to dig a little deeper into this because I've always believed that, you know, you can be authentic in your connection, or you should be authentic in all your connections. But for me, I'm a big fan of getting rid of the word authentic, which is quite interesting. That, you know, so many people talk about it. I say often you can get a person who's authentically inauthentic, which is a con artist. So I love the two words, realness and vulnerability, because I think that's really key. Well, when you really connect with someone, you just be real with them and be vulnerable, be open to, you know, maybe some suggestion, maybe some criticism, some feedback on different things. What would you say to that around the two keywords of realness and vulnerability?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I think the reason I use authentic is because it goes to a deeper level for me and how I look at it, in that when I'm looking to be authentic, I'm expecting other people to come back at me and meet me in the same way. But to be authentic or have an authentic connection, you first have to authenticate the people. And so when I look to people, put people in my own private network, you know, I often say to friends that I have, or close friends, I share that I have friends and then I have authentic friends. But the authentic friends have been authenticated. And I really do believe on this friendship level, it's an important concept to understand, whether you're in business or dealing with people outside of business, that you want to have people engaging with you at this level where it builds and establishes the trust. And I don't think that happens without you first kind of verifying each other, whether some people do it subliminally or I do it through various rules that I've developed, some of which I shared on your stage.
Absolutely. So the key thing for me, and I suppose that's really, if you take it right into a business sense, is true authentic connections or realness and vulnerability. That's where you go to that deeper level with people, and that's when people begin to know, like, and trust you, and then start to refer you out to their friends, their authentic connections, and what have you. And I love this because, you know, for me, that's how you grow your business. Really, most business is not really what you know, but often who you know and how authentic your relationships are with those people. What would you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I find that very often when I meet people, they find it refreshing that they sense that I don't have hidden agendas. I'm really trying to get to the core truths of what they need, and hoping that when they see that, and they're part of the minority of people who have that enlightened ability to understand reciprocity, that they will reciprocate. And so I will always take the first action in that respect. I talked about Newton's third law, which is all about, you know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. But the adjunct that I add to that is that, you know, you really can't expect to receive an action until you first take one. So I'm always willing to be vulnerable and be real by basically taking that first action and then see how people show up. And it leads to that other chain of rules that I shared with you, which is basically that it's all about consistency. So as over time, as you see how people are consistently showing up, responding to those actions that you initially take, provided they're acting in reciprocity and they're real and they're vulnerable and they're basically sharing their real needs with you, I think you could build a strong foundation of trust off of that basic platform.
Yeah, and you know what fascinates me too, Neil, is how many, you know, there's a great book out there that I once read, but then over years I've sort of thought, well, is it... you know, we've got to be very careful how we interpret things from some of the stuff we read. And that the book by Robert Cialdini, The Power of Persuasion, because mm-hmm. they talk a lot about reciprocity in that book. But the challenging part is, to me, it's really authentic reciprocity or real reciprocity where,
right.
you know, you're doing things from a place of, I'm doing this to help this person, serve the person that I'm with, not doing it because I expect something in return. And, you know, that for me is what I find so challenging in this world we live in right now. Everyone says, well, the whole, you know, the universe, whatever your superior being is, when you give, you'll get tenfold in return. But if you expect that all the time, you actually don't get tenfold in return. Mostly you get nothing. So what fascinates me with the power of reciprocity is how many people, I think, abuse reciprocity or use it in a manipulative way, which I disagree with completely in business. It should all be about serving people first, and the reciprocity comes anyways. What do you think? You know, you want to add anything to that?
Actually, I totally agree with it. But the key is how to decipher who you're dealing with. If you're dealing with somebody who's a manipulator and they're clever, and they use that to establish their own aims and agenda, or you know, they have that service mentality. So when I meet people, I try to meet them at a place, again, first identifying their needs to see how I can be helpful. I don't have expectations. And generally, when I'm in that frame of mind, I do find that the universe steps in and responds and rewards me, and sometimes in amazingly unexpected ways. In terms of, you know, authenticating whether people are master manipulators or whether they really are showing up from a place of true service, again, I just counsel people to take it slow and observe carefully and see how they consistently show up. And as I said when I was doing my talk with you folks, that one of the ways is just to look at not only what people say and what they do, but what they don't say and what they don't do. Because all of those things give pieces of information to you to then sort, mix together, and see the consistency and how they are operating with others.
Yeah, absolutely, Neil. And I think that's the interesting part here, because what we're talking about here today is really can be used in any part of your life. I mean, I think so many people don't, you know, somebody watching what people, you know, do in their relationships, with their relationships with their child, with their business partner, with their life partner, customers, what have you, they're so busy focusing on, you know, what the person's doing, as opposed to, hey, also, you learn a lot about the person, like you said, Neil, of what, you know, the stuff they don't do is also very eye-opening. You know, maybe they don't do the follow-up. Maybe there's no follow-through. Maybe they say certain things and don't do it. You know, they say one thing, do something else. So for our listeners out there, I want you to really think about this in all your relationships, because, you know, really getting that true connection to me is, you know, to me is one of the most important things we can have in our lives. I look at the relationship I have with my wife. It's a deep connection, but we give unconditionally to each other. I'm giving with an expectation in return. I give and it comes in abundance in return. And I think that's for all the relationships we have in our lives, for all our listeners out there. And, you know, Neil, I'm going to get you ask you another nice deep question on this, Neil. And really, if there was one piece of advice. Of course, you're known as the global connector, and love what Robert Kiyosaki or Robert Allen said in terms of giving you that term. I would like you to maybe give our listeners maybe a key nugget of what would you consider the number one thing to being successful is? What would you like? If you had to say, Colin, the number one thing in my life that I've learned maybe the last 5 years, 10 years, maybe you've done it all your life, what would you consider that number one thing to be that's got you to the success of where you are today?
Well, I think it's really two key words, discipline and consistency. You have to be disciplined in your habits. You have to be disciplined in your judgment. You have to be disciplined in your character and disciplined in your temperament. And by doing that, you put structure around four, as I shared again at your conference, four important qualities that make up for success. And provided that's all done consistently and packaged up in that way, you become dependable in people's eyes. If you become dependable, you become trustworthy and you develop that speed of trust. And consequently, when you have that with people, it's worth more than anything in the bank, because they'll always come to you and they won't have their guard up. And whether it's just to ask a question or they need a favor or they want to do something nice for you in return, there's no guardedness about that, and you create this great ability to receive.
Well, you know, that's fascinating for me. And if you said, you know, and I love that, and consistency, I just don't know how many people, you know, out there, they just don't listen. You know, they want to get results in their lives, but they do things for one or two weeks or maybe 1 or 2 months. And then they fall off and they don't continue those items. I mean, that consistency to me is one of the most important things. And to all our listeners out there, please make sure that you're understanding this, that you got to be consistent in all your actions. You know, you got to consistently get out of bed, do things every day towards the results that you want. If you fall off track, and you lack consistency, you know, even one or two days where you just fall off track completely, you've got to get back on track and get that consistency back. But my goal for you, consistency means you never fall off track, that you actually stay on track and do whatever you need to do to get to wherever you want to be. So Neil, in terms of, you know, something that you've maybe learned yourself in the last 5 years, let's say, you know, because you've given me your key nugget on really being dependable and consistent in everything you do. But what about in the last 5 years for you? What is one of the key things you've learned that you go, I wish every other business owner knew this, or I wish they would get this, because if I knew it 25 years ago, I'd be in a different place completely, maybe financially, maybe success-wise, whatever it is for you. What would that one nugget of advice be that you've learned in the last 5 years? And maybe who was that advice from that you would be, you would say has been, could have been a game changer for you 20 or 30 years ago?
Well, I think as a jumping off point, the law of attraction is real, but it comes at a price. For me, it's not just something that you think about. It's a mantra or it's an abstraction that, you know, you channel it. It's really about the discipline and consistency and how you show up and how that attracts like. So in my TED Talk, I spoke about this and it was interesting. I identified the idea that when you show up, you're not only showing things overtly, but in a sense subliminally. And if people are sensing you have good character, good judgment, good temperament, good habits, those that also have those tenets within them and practice them, which are increasingly rarer as you combine them, will recognize that in you as they continue a conversation. And those that do those things at an increasingly higher level of discipline and consistency will recognize you and want to be in your orbit. And that is the law of attraction. So the more that you practice these precepts and the more you do them consistently and in increasingly service-oriented ways, people who are also at that level of consciousness and awareness will recognize that in you, and you will start attracting amazing people at that level in your orbit. And when you are doing business with people of the like, the set same like-mindedness, that truly is that kind of mastermind mentality that was discussed 100 years ago. And it's really refreshing to have enlightened people surrounding you to do business with.
Yeah, you know, that's what fascinates me is how many people, you know, Jim Rohn said it best, you know, you're the product of the five people you hang out the most with in terms of any area of your life. And I that fascinates me how many people, they want to take their connections to a higher level. They want to meet, you know, be more disciplined, have more consistency in their life, but they don't seem to get what it takes to get to that next level, especially in the law of attraction where you stand back and you welcome in what needs, you know, you welcome in these people into your world. And when you play at that level, you attract more people at that level. And you play, when you're playing in complete integrity, amazing that the kind of integrous people that you actually welcome into your world as well. I mean, the law of attraction for me came only into my life maybe 15 years ago. Law of attraction, the secret, what have you, came into my life. I mean, put this way, I say came in, Neil, I laugh about this every day because it didn't come in. It's always been in my life. And the misery that I had in certain parts of my life is what I was truly attracting into my life. So I realize that now. Now I also realize, you know what, how powerful this tool is to really helping you get ahead. You know, every thought we have, every single thing we say is really putting out what we want in our life. So we have to be really conscious of what we're thinking and what we're saying and really getting to that next level. So
it's a form of social engineering, and it's really engineering yourself. If you want to be the CEO of your own life, which is how I look at myself as an entrepreneur, every morning I wake up, I have a checklist of things that I want to do. And I don't always get completely through it. And I actually sometimes may take myself outside and have a talk with myself for not accomplishing my complete agenda. But I also give myself a break because I know I did my very best. I'm an overachiever. I set high goals and standards for myself in everything I do, including all the things that I need to get through the day. But the real point here is that you have the ability every morning you wake up to decide who you're going to be and how you can be the best you can be. And the way to do that, I believe, is really to set, you know, achievable goals for yourself, but the kind of standards also that you want to attract. And by shedding, you know, other types of habits and deficiencies, and we all have them, and continuing to perfect yourself, you become a perfectible organism that attracts the same in other people. And for example, you know, I can look back on my life and say that I've had the privilege of getting to know amazing people, Academy Award-winning actors, billionaires, Nobel Prize winners, but they didn't know who I was. They didn't necessarily know my resume. They didn't necessarily know my accomplishments. but they were attracted to these facets and particularly my values. And so I remember when I was in my earlier political fundraising days, I was, you know, invited to the homes of luminaries and power brokers, but none of that was important in terms of what they did for a living. It was all sharing a common passion, a common philosophy, common values. And it was like this very level playing field in discussions one-on-one where nobody was really interested in those other affectations. They really just want to know about the core of who you are and whether they liked you and could relate to you. And I think really that is a lot of the secret.
Yeah, you know what? I think I absolutely agree with you on that because it fascinates me. You know, I'm a big fan of values, core values, because that's what really attracts us to people or often repels us from people. Depends what their values are. And I'm a big believer in you know, we got together and we've, you know, done work together now because of, we have similar values. If we didn't have similar values, you would either think I'm a jerk and you don't want to work with me or what have you. I would either repel you, attract you, and vice versa. And I'm such a big believer in values. And I wish more people would understand that values are what drive us. And values are what really create for me in many ways. Really good part of your connection too is having the right, the people around you with the right values. And I really hope our listeners out there are really taking, really thinking this through and taking some detailed notes, because what are your values? What's important to you? You know, what's core to you as a human being? And, you know, I think that, you know, for me, you just hit the nail on the head around, we really need to get in touch with our values. I think sometimes, you know, people in partnerships, business partnerships, life partnerships, sometimes split apart because their values in some way or form change. And when you don't have the same values between you, the chance of really staying together or having a really true, deep relationship, I think disappears. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, exactly. And interestingly enough, if I could amplify on that, when I gave my TED talk, one of the points that I made that I think really resonated with people is that common interests bring people together. And so often we're focused on more of those superficial qualities or what are the common interests that we have, particularly with mergers and acquisitions and companies. You know, they're not looking really at corporate culture. They're looking at the synergies between the products they make and the customers they service, but they're not looking at the underlying underpinnings. And for me, as I said, common interests may bring people together, but it's common values, common perspective, and common personalities that keep people together.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Neil, as we get into this today, and I'm so glad, and like I said, it's been my privilege to be on this call with you and just to go through really understanding more about who you are. What would be, you know, maybe one piece of, you know, one nugget or one really piece of, you know, great piece of wisdom, because you're an extremely wise and smart man. What's another piece of wisdom that you would love, maybe want to share with our listeners that you would consider to be, maybe not necessarily only around success? To me, success is a globe, like a really broad term of success in any area of your life. But what would be the one thing that you say, you know what, here's something, a golden nugget that I'd love to share with your listeners to really have them get that next level in their life, whatever they're looking for? What would be that golden nugget that is just something that is so wow for you to help our listeners to get to that next level themselves?
Well, I think the core of my success, at least in connecting with people, as I trace back, I spoke about it on stage to your audience, was my mom. You know, I always marveled at the idea that even though she was a secretary and she worked a difficult job, that she attracted people she happened to work at a film studio, but she attracted people who were not just on her level. She had experiences where she would work for one day for a producer. And years later, after years had passed, she got sick. She had a cancer. It was a rare cancer. She suffered, and she passed away. And it was interesting to me that the chiefs of the studio, legendary producers she worked for one day, famed actors, all insisted that they have a service for her at the studio. She was treated like a head of state. And the reason was that she instantly befriended people, and everyone knew that she was real and that she cared. And the secret that I learned as I reflected on it after she passed away, which has influenced my life, is that she looked at everybody as an opportunity, not an opportunity for herself, but an opportunity to do work like in a garden, where she realized that many people who were, she saw, most everyone else saw them as bitter or angry or difficult people, she saw as wounded. She saw that in somewhere in their childhood, something happened, and that woundedness was being carried through the rest of their lives like a bear that had a stick in their paw, and no one could see that. All they see is the angry bear. And so it was her almost mission to get to know people, the most difficult, cantankerous people she insisted on sitting next to in her secretarial pool, who didn't have any friends. And she would meet them where they stood and just try to accept them and try to accept that woundedness and find what the root was. And people, of course, who are wounded are looking for someone to talk to. And the next thing you know, it was like she was plucking the weeds out of a garden and allowing the rest of the garden to flourish. And then she transformed people. And she had that transformative effect with whoever she worked with. And so the point that I wanted to get to was that at the end of her life, she never had an enemy. And I don't know about you, Colin, but I've rarely, if ever, met anyone like that. Just because she happened to be my mom was special. But it had a tremendous impact on me that someone could be that pure and put their own agenda aside. If anything, they had an agenda. It was just basically to do some healing work with other people without any expectation, and to attract that kind of resonant response. I think people could apply some of those lessons in their own life, in their business life, in their personal life, to enhance their ability to achieve connectedness and succeed in their relationships, which ultimately is what business is about.
Absolutely. Now, you know, what a great story. Thank you for that. And you know, what a special person your mom must have been. Would have loved to have met her and what have you as well, because you know, that fascinates me, Neil, that we have so many people on this planet that, you know, I was in Moscow maybe 15 years ago, and I was standing at, you know, waiting for a train, and the gentleman next to me who used to work for us in Moscow said to me, "Colin, you know what? All human beings are greedy. It's just the level of greed that differs from one to the other." You know what? I actually pondered that, and I still ponder that still to this day, because I don't necessarily believe it's greed. It sounded like your mom was a person of zero greed. It was just someone that was beautiful, giving, caring, and wanted to make a change on this planet and a change in that person's life that she, you know, she sat with and directly impacted them in some way or form. And
well, yes,
wow, Gandhi
said it best, you know, be the change you want to see in the world. And we all have that opportunity. I don't even know if she ever read Gandhi, but she epitomized those values and that perspective. And her personality was one of basically just wanting to be a better gardener. And she did that.
She should. Wow. She sure did, man. And well, yet what a pleasure to grow up in that environment. I wish many people were able to grow up in that so similar environment, because, you know, wow, there's, you know, many of us, I think there's many listeners out there that have lots of weeds in their gardens going, "I wish I could actually meet Neil's mom so she could pluck the weeds out of my garden."
She never judged other people. And she realized she couldn't do that because she hadn't walked in their shoes. And I think it's really important, because people show up and we get these superficial impressions of each other. And very often it goes back to that protective sense that we had going back to Cro-Magnon period. And, you know, you're out there and there are these wild beasts and you don't know what you're dealing with. One of the interesting things that I got about that I didn't get to talk about in my stage discussion with the audience is that I had an experience, and I think it directly relates to this. I always try to learn something from wherever I'm at and whatever facet of learning I can do to add to myself and then share back. So I happened to be at a nonprofit that was working to protect endangered wildlife. And that led to that slide that I did with you folks about branding and, you know, preserving the orangutan, the endangered orangutan, if you remember. But here's what was interesting. Most people could kind of pass that over. I found it fascinating that the organization was devoted to saving these orangutan in the wild. It's the second largest rainforest in the world. They brought a point forward to me that I never forgot. Orangutan have 97% of human DNA. They are 97% like us. But the thing that we distinguish when we look at them goes back to that same quality that we needed to preserve ourselves in the wild. We look at the differences. And we look at how different the orangutan is from us, even though they're never 97% like us. And if you take that to the next level, when we're looking at people in business, we look at people in politics, we look at people who are of different races, different creeds, we're always first seizing upon the differences. Wouldn't it be a much more wonderful and special world that we could live in if we started to first try to look at the similarities and we had that common ground to work from? We are headed for a terrible time, as I'm reading the newspapers right now in the world, and a tremendous war that could escalate simply because everyone is doubling down on focusing on the differences between us. And it's the same principle that we can apply in business to attract greater numbers of like-minded people. And, you know, a movement can be sparked by a person of one. And, you know, I do believe, and one of the things I'm looking forward to as one of my goals is to create a greater movement of awareness for everyone to start looking more at the similarities than the differences. Imagine the conflicts that could be reduced, the number of court cases that could be eliminated, the clogging up our legal system, if people just started from a place of that.
Wow. Yeah, I absolutely agree with you on that. You know, for me, it's, yeah, I say that the world is, we've lost three amazing words in this world in so many ways and form. And those three words are respect, responsibility, and commitment. You know, if we all took responsibility for all our actions, we wouldn't have half of the lawsuits that are happening out there, or probably most of them. If we all respected each other and each other's property and truly respected, and we're all committed, it even sounds even silly to say this, committed to our commitments, life would be different. So, wow, that is just, what great advice for people out there to be starting to really look at what are the similarities you have with other people, not looking at the differences you have. I mean, everyone's busy focusing on, I think it's a lot of time like the weather, Neil. So people say, well, there's, you know, a 60% chance of rain today in the weather forecast. No, there's actually 40% chance of sunshine.
Exactly.
Or no rain.
And that is exactly the point. It gets back to, how do you see the world? Are you an optimist or are you a pessimist? There's so many people who live in fear and scarcity, and that drives their decisions in business. So, you know, they want to get the last crumb. They want to out-negotiate you. They want to out-maneuver you, you know, and everyone is on their guard, and it engenders like attracts like, Newton's third law. But if you take the reverse thought process and try to see how we can create a situation where it's not about me first, but about we first, and how we can work together to resolve a problem, and that's basically what business is. You know, I told you I'm a person who enjoys puzzles, and it's really about solving puzzles, solving challenges, solving problems. But you can't do that from this even subconscious adversarial mindset. You really have to start thinking not about scarcity, but abundance, and thinking about how, you know, the universe, the world we operate in, the businesses that we practice are not closed systems. They can be opened up. And it's like I often share with people, if you're looking about the pie and how to divide up the pie, why are you limiting yourself to that one viewpoint? You know, what if you were to invest and work together in a bakery that could bake lots of pies, right? Or, you know, you can enlarge the pie. You can bake a bigger pie. You just expand the oven. I mean, et cetera, et cetera. It's a metaphorical approach, but it really is about that. You know, it's limits to growth will limit our ability to grow and our ability to succeed. But if you take off the ceiling, off the limits, and start thinking abundantly and more creatively, which is what was at the heart and soul of my talk, then I really believe it's an opportunity and a journey for everyone to improve and enjoy their time more while they're here.
Wow. Neil, let me. I know we're getting close to the end here. Yeah, for me, I just that's why I think everyone should be looking at life, and for our listeners out there, really starting to look at, how do you wake up in the morning? What do you think about when you wake up in the morning? Are you optimistic? Are you pessimistic? Do you wake up in the morning, you're knowing that you have certain disciplines and you're going to be, get consistency happening in your life? Or are you going to, are you waking up and just doing things that'll never serve you to that higher place of where you truly want to be? I want people to really think about that. And Neil, if and I really, really appreciate you being, being live with me, because number one, I care for you dearly. I love who you are. I love the teachings and the brilliance of who you are. If people want to learn more about you, where could they find more information about you, Neil, and what you do?
Thank you. That's very kind. So my website is worldclassconnections.com. And, I'm continuing to add to my library. I'm out there now on YouTube, having done some interviews, and looking forward to doing more speaking, et cetera.
Fantastic, Neil. Neil, I really appreciate your time. It's been my privilege to have to actually do this interview with you. I trust that our listeners got a ton of value. My most important thing, and you'll hear this in the extra listeners, is make sure you take action. Even one or two nuggets that you get from today, make sure you implement it. Because remember, knowledge is not power. Knowledge is only potential power. Implementation is where the power is. So thank you so much for being on with us. Thank you for listening. Make sure you're listening next week as well. And if you haven't, make sure you go back to the previous podcast. Listen to the earlier episodes. Neil, thank you so much for being on. Thank you for your time, and thank you for blessing us with your brilliance.
It's been an honor and a privilege, and I want to just say I am so impressed with you, and I look forward to many happy years of getting to know you even better.
Thank you so much, and I look forward to connecting deeper with you as well. Thank you so much, Neil.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening, but now it's time to take action. Pick something and do it today. Not tomorrow, but today. Then let us know the impact by reaching out through Facebook or LinkedIn. And if you want an even greater opportunity to connect and learn, just go to mymsuccess.com/free events and we will email you our full schedule of free events. Again, go to mymsuccess.com/free events. Now go out and make your mark. We'll be right back.